how to set them, and he's on his way back.
It's recording.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, it's working now.
You ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. Motion been made. Second, Counselor, would you read the ordinance title on it?
Certainly. Proposed ordinance 1817, sponsored by Personnel Committee, being enacted by the Forum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County personnel policy, dated August, whatever the date is today, 21st, 2018, attest Margaret Garter, Secretary, approved Jim Baker, Faulkner County Judge.
The floor is open for discussion on this ordinance. And it came through the Personnel Committee, I understand.
No, sir, Your Honor, it just flew through.
Okay. Any discussion here at the table? Hearing none, as Secretary, will you call the vote?
Boyer?
Yes.
Brady?
Yes.
Dodgen?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
Hendricks?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Houston?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
Tessing?
Yes.
Vogel?
Yes.
Ordinance 1817 has passed. Moving now to new business, and I'll first item, the alcohol permit for Plaza Azul Mexican Grill. It came through the Courts of Public Service Committee. Randy, would you comment on that before we...
Yes, sir. That was referred last month to the Courts of Public Safety Committee. We reviewed it at our meeting on August the 14th. After a great deal of discussion, we're sending it back to the full court with a negative recommendation.
Your pleasure is that...
So basically, at this point, somebody can make a motion to approve it and get a second. We can discuss it or not. If we don't, it should.
David, do we need
if no one makes a motion to approve the transfer of the permit or the moving of the permit, I should say, then it would die for lack of motion. If someone makes the motion and someone seconds the motion to pass an ordinance to approve it, then you would be in discussion.
Do I got any more questions of date? So I'm going to put. I'm looking around the table.
I'll make a motion, Judge, to approve the ordinance.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the ordinance. Consideration.
There has been, for what it's worth, Judge, there has been no one that's actually come to me and asked for an ordinance to be drafted. So I can tell you that I think you're perfectly safe in asking to approve the ordinance, because the only thing the ordinance is going to say is the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas, approves the transfer of the permit of Playa Azul Mexican Restaurant from the city of Conway to the non-incorporated area of the county for this address. That's the language of the ordinance. It doesn't necessarily have to be written up for you guys to vote on it, because that's all there is to it.
Thanks. Any discussion? Hearing none.
Yes, Judge.
Yes.
May I ask you a question?
You bet.
We're moving a license from the city to the county.
Correct.
What authority gives the county the, what agency gives the county the authority to do this?
I'm going to try to answer that as briefly as I can, but for years, when someone wanted a alcohol beverage dispensing, you might say a service permit, and as the due to the fact that we're a dry county, it's got to be a permit for a restaurant to serve alcoholic beverages. They're not selling them, they're only serving them. With that said, the owner of this facility, the club, private club, already had a permit in the city of Conway, and the ABC regulations plus the statutes of the state, they used to make it, it's hard to explain, they used to make it so that for him to have a permit, he would have to go to the ABC. And at the ABC, we would always have a big argument about whether the local authorities approved the permit or the transfer of the permit or not. At this point, just in the last year or so, the legislature has changed that rule so that instead of going to the ABC for that hearing and bringing local authorities into the ABC to testify in favor of it or against it, they have to come to the city council or the county quorum court to get an ordinance passed approving this move or this grant. And if they don't get it, then it's dead in the water. If they do get it, then ABC is probably going to rubber stamp it from there.
Am I allowed more questions, Judge?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. With this transfer of liability or authorization, is there any rules, regulations that the county has been given to follow that will be coincidental with ABC, and they must be the people?
Not really. The ABC will determine whether this applicant is qualified or not, independent of us, independent of this body. Your decision is a subjective decision. It's not an objective decision. You are very subjective. If you think that it's a dry county and you don't want alcohol in a dry county, you can vote according to that bias, you might say. If you think that if you're on the other side of the equation and you say, I'm in favor of business in the county and I don't want to subject them to extra rules or whatever that they shouldn't be, then you can vote that way. There is some case law that used to govern the ABC to some degree in how they made this subjective decision, but that case law hasn't come over to the quorum court. So your decision today is on behalf of my constituents, do I think this is a good idea for the county in this location or not? It's just that simple. The rest, the more objective and specific criteria stuff will be done by the ABC.
Okay. May I continue, sir? At the committee meeting last week, or whenever, we were giving some copies of affidavits. One of them is an alcoholic beverage permit issued by the Department of Finance and Administration, Alcoholic Beverage Control Division, Little Rock, Arkansas, with a permit number on it. It lists here private club, Class A. Lists the name of the owner, the location of the owner as on 500 Amity Road in Conway, Arkansas, and the name of the restaurant. On the permit, this is the permit, the license, it says, this permit shall not be deemed a property or vested right, is not transferable or assignable, and may be revoked at any time pursuant to the law.
Right.
This permit shall remain valid until suspended, canceled, or revoked so long as the annual permit fee shall be paid as required by law. Now, the name of the restaurant is listed as one name where the permit is issued to. The name of the restaurant where it's going to be transferred to is another name. It says, and you can have this, sir, if you don't have it.
I think I do.
It says it's not transferable, it's not property, it's not a vested right, or assignable.
Okay.
Some other things were given to us in that same package that do not bear the state of Arkansas. An application for a transfer does not bear the Arkansas on it anywhere. I don't know if this was made by Photoshop.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I'm a little confused when I see someone asking for a transfer when it says it's not transferable.
Okay.
Then I have a copy of some stuff here that says it's a transfer request.
If I
may. My hair's going to turn white.
Right. Oh, gosh. I'm afraid it already is. You may not have been aware of that. So let me respond to a couple of those. number one, I want to make it clear that I'm neither arguing for the issuance or the grant that you guys might do tonight or against it. That's not what I'm here to do, but I can answer some of those questions. Number one, you're using the word transfer two different ways. The owner cannot transfer his permit from his business to another business. He can't sell his permit, right? So if I own a business and my business is, Hoag's Barbecue, because that's what it would probably be, then I can't buy his permit. It can't be transferred to me. It can change location under the same ownership, though. So just based on somebody being somebody who's argued those cases in front of the ABC more times than I'd like to remember, one time lost some, he can transfer like I said, there's two different meanings to that word. It can be transferred, but not from one person to another, just from one location to another with your blessing. So the transfer thing is not a problem legally. As far as the two different named entities on the permit and the license, if you look at almost any private club, and again, I'm neither for nor against it, I've just argued these before. If you look at almost any private club or any restaurant that serves alcohol in this county or in the state, you've generally got, say, Outback, which is Outback Restaurant, and then you've got a private club that's operating within the confines of Outback Restaurant that has an alcohol permit. They will have a different name. They always do. So that's not a problem either legally. So it comes back to, do you want alcohol at that address or not? Technicalities I've looked at to some degree, and not to minimize what you're saying, but I haven't found a problem yet.
May I continue, sir?
Yes.
I understand the transfer from one individual to another. So we have two individuals here, a Mexican grill and a name of another restaurant. Are they the same? Do they have the same tax ID? Do they say everything about them the same?
No.
So we have two individuals then. We can't transfer one to the other.
Okay, if you'll have to address that. If you would come up and take my podium and you can answer that question. If I may, since we're going to have a night of several different people talking tonight, just so the rest of the audience can hear, since we're making recordings, when people address the court, if they would take my podium, that will help everybody hear better.
Could you find a mic for me?
Some mics over here.
Steve, thank you.
You use Steve Goods.
There you go.
He doesn't
need
it.
Okay, to answer your question, yes, there is two different tax IDs with the same individual, which that's me. In other words, I pay tax on one and I pay tax on the other, because that's the purpose of a private club. There are two separate accounts, two businesses within one business. So I have to file at the end of the year and on a monthly basis on one and on the other, because they go in conjunction, even though they carry a separate EIN. So being that, they have to have a separate, two different names.
I thank you for that.
Okay.
I do have some knowledge about being a business owner myself. I know that one of my tax IDs does not override the other tax ID. The tax ID is a separate individual identification. Whether I own four or 12 of them, the one person, each of those tax IDs are individualized. Now, counselors told us that we can't transfer this between person to person. I'm of the opinion that it doesn't necessarily mean individual to individual. It means entity to entity. And I can be corrected on that, counselor, if you...
No, I agree with that part.
Well, and so I see this as transferring between one entity and another entity.
Well, believe me, before I came here, I went to the ABC, and they were the ones that sent me here to get approval because I have to tell them I am changing locations. What do I do with this? They said you go to the county and get an approval. It was approved by them. If, you know, I wouldn't be here if the ABC had said, no, you can't do it. It's either 500 Amity Road or it's nothing. Well, they didn't say that. They say, here's the application.
So the application that you submitted forms for.
That's what the ABC gave me.
And the alcohol beverage permit doesn't list your new location.
Because I was still...
It doesn't go into effect. It says on this, it doesn't go into effect until July the 1st, 2018. That's when it went into effect. Right?
Okay. That's when
it went. And it's good until June 30th, 2019.
Okay. Before I transfer, before I...
When did you start operations at the restaurant? The new restaurant?
July 16th. I had to renew that license regardless. I mean, they said you have to renew it before you can request a transfer.
I understand that.
Oh.
But when you ask for the renewal on July the 1st, is that what you asked for?
Those permits renew every year annually on July 1st. They run on the state fiscal year, not on calendar.
Not a calendar. I understand.
Yeah. So it goes July 1 to June 30 annually.
So I was still in business when I renewed it.
At the Mexican Grill in Congo?
Yes.
Did you know at that time you were going to move?
Yeah, I would think so, yes.
I still go back to what my original premise is, Counselor, that one individual can own several businesses. You can't transfer business to business if you have a separate tax ID number. It's what I'm reading right here. Now I can be convinced that I'm incorrect. If we had some control measures from the ABC and what they would do, if this has been dumped in our lap without any protocol, practice, procedure, policy, rule, law, statute, I've seen nothing, Judge.
Yeah, on the back of that renewal form, I don't know if you have a renewal form, it says to submit a city ordinance or a county ordinance for the approval of the transfer, but you don't have it because it's you may not, you might do because
so we have some phantom information now.
Those are all copies of the front pages. The back of the renewal contains the information on the renewal process, and in that renewal process it says you have to submit a city ordinance or a county ordinance before it can be approved. So here I am seeking an approval from the county before I can submit it to the ABC. Without your approval, there's no use. There's no sense in me going to the ABC because they require that you approve it and that I have a letter of approval with the application.
Counselor, it's my understanding this was passed in the last legislative session.
Correct.
To start this new approach.
Correct.
If a business operates in the county, it comes before the Quorum Court.
Right.
It operates in the city, it comes before the city council.
Right.
This is the first one that we've tackled. I know that there's a lot of questions, but
as I explained,
we need to take some action.
I certainly appreciate the arguments and the points made by Justice Boyer. The only thing, and like I said, I'm not arguing for or against it. As I read the alcoholic beverage permit granted, in effect as we speak, it was issued to the permittee is Longinos Rangel and Playa Azul Mexican Grill. And Playa Azul Mexican Grill at 500 Amity Road has applied on this transfer of location application to have a new location at 5 Highway 36. So personally, me, I don't see this as an effort to transfer it from one entity to another so much as just, I think he's legit on the process, and it's just a matter of does the quorum court want to endorse it or not. That's just where I am.
Other discussion?
What disturbs me is that the entire county has become an uncoordinated patchwork of permits. If we're going to be tasked with doing this, we need to establish some guidelines under which we're going to operate. Or are we just patching again?
So, Your Honor, my answer to that would be that Faulkner County is a dry county, and that we don't pass any until such time that the voters in the county decide something different, regardless of what city of Congress is. That's my opinion.
Okay, there are others in the county, though, I understand.
That's before they came to us, though. I agree, but that's before they came to us.
Other comments?
After your approval, I still have to post. After your approval, I still have to post a notice to the public. So in case anybody has a complaint, they can write to the ABC. If there's enough complaints, well, the ABC has not approved it. So I will post a notice given by the ABC for the public to be aware that there has been an application for the sale of alcohol. If there's enough people out there in that area that disagree, they're going to write the ABC and complain. And the ABC will see that, okay, there's so many against it than for it. Then I'm thinking they're not going to approve it, because that's the whole purpose of the notice. So your approval only allows me to proceed. But that doesn't mean that it's already approved by the ABC, because it's pending the public.
What year did Faulkner County determine it was going to be a dry county?
Oh, my heavens.
Well, I mean, you've tried these cases before. Right?
Yes, I know.
World War II.
World War II. Okay.
World War II.
I am a huge proponent of the people being able to decide, and the people have been given multiple opportunities throughout the years to change Faulkner County to a wet county. To my knowledge, that's never happened. I appreciate you being a small business owner. But for now, the law is that the county is dry. And yes, to Justice Hendricks' point, you know, I know that the supper club is in the county. Almost Famous was brought up that it had happened in this calendar year. Actually, it happened in July of 17 before we were given the charge to do this. If the people of Faulkner County want to vote Faulkner County wet, praise the Lord and pass the alcohol. But they haven't done that yet. And so my recommendation would be that we stick, just like Justice Egan said, with where we are today.
Can I speak?
Yes, sir.
It is a dry county, but if you have 1,000 restaurants selling alcohol, so what is it?
And you can come to Conway and do the same thing?
Well, I understand, but it's in the county. The city is in the county. It's within the county.
We only have jurisdiction over the county. And I only have one vote, so.
You know, if...
I'm kind of squishy on this, if you don't mind. We have been notified that there are only two restaurants that have this license, and it's easy to say that, well, this is done before we had purview over it. But... In this particular activity that we're engaged in right now, this is going to set a precedent. if this court sometime in the future issues a alcohol transfer or whatever we're tasked to do, like we are tonight, to someone, you may find yourself in a civil rights litigation case. We have a minority here that's asking for fair treatment, and I'm not saying this isn't fair, but that's the world we live in today. And if in the future somebody Lily White shows up and wants their deal transferred and it gets done, this fellow's going to own this county by a federal court. Now, I say that, I don't know that. It seems to me that this businessman is asking for fair and equal treatment, and that's the basis of the Constitution that we live by. Fair and equal treatment for minorities. And sometimes those minorities may get a leg up, but that's America. And I am not a proponent of alcohol. I am a proponent of good business. I am a proponent of democracy. I'm a proponent of open discussion like this. But I want to see this man given the respect, and I want to caution you that you do this in the future to he'll be back. If you deny it.
Other discussion? Yes.
America is a country of law. And it can bring about any law to stop the consumption or to stop the selling of alcohol. No law will stop anybody from consuming. The only way that you're going to stop the selling of alcohol is that everybody stops consuming. You cannot convince anybody not to consume. So that's the only way. You talk to the people and say, you don't drink so that those companies can go out of business. You don't drink so that Playa Azul runs out of business because he can't sell alcohol if you don't drink. So, no law will stop anybody from consuming. If I don't sell alcohol, the community will go to a place where there is alcohol. I mean, that's just the way I see it. And I respect the law. I respect your decision. And we're still going to be friends. Because that's just the nature of the business.
Question's been called for. Any other discussion? This time, Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Hoyer?
No.
Brady?
No.
Dodgen?
No.
Good?
No.
Hawk? Hendricks?
Yes.
Higgins?
No.
I'm sorry, no?
No.
Houston?
Yes.
King?
No.
Pickett?
Yes.
Tessing?
Yes.
Vogel?
No.
I declare that the application for the alcohol permit has failed. Thank you. Moving on to the next item on the agenda is the Mount Vernon School Board appointment. I'm going to ask Councilor Hope to bring us up to date as best he can on this appointment.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to let people get their way out or in. Members of the court, here's what... Thank you. Members of the court, here's what you've got. The Mount Vernon School Board, can you hear me?
Yes.
The Mount Vernon School Board has had recently in an executive session one member who offered her resignation and left the meeting. At that point, there was some discussion about how to interpret what happened and legally what happened and so forth, and there have been basically two attorneys weighing in on that, the attorney for the school board and me as the civil attorney for the county and the election commission. As I read the law, what we've got is someone who offered their resignation. Legally, you're obviously free to offer your resignation. If one of you in this room offer your resignation and you walk out the door, by the fact that you're the quorum court, certain rules apply, and the quorum court would have to take a vote on whether there is a vacancy once that person resigns. School board law is a little bit different than quorum court law, and so when someone walks out, the law doesn't say that the school board has to declare a vacancy. The law says that the vacancy occurs when the person resigns. And so based on that, in conversation with the superintendent of Mount Vernon Enola School District, I advised them that the resignation occurred when that person resigned and you don't have to wait. And they were under the impression that they could wait for some time and declare a vacancy and have an appointment made or an election or whatever. And when I read into the law, I said, I don't think that's the case. I think when she resigned, there's nothing in the law that says that she can rescind her resignation, which she, in fact, did by email only a couple of days after she resigned. And so that's what created the division between me and another attorney. At some point, the school board came to settle on the idea that she resigned and that resignation was effective immediately, and it wasn't up to them to declare a vacancy. Now, here's the problem. When someone resigns and that vacancy immediately occurs under the law, the school board has 30 days in which to appoint someone to fill that vacancy. That vacancy, though, happened in May of this year, and the school board, in the process of trying to figure out whether to declare a vacancy or not, they let their 30 days lapse. And so, in my opinion, once they, and by the law, and this is all I can say is it's my opinion until Black Robe says otherwise, but as I read the law, the vacancy happened when she resigned, not, it couldn't wait for them to declare a vacancy as they thought it would. And so the 30 days elapsed, the school board loses the right to reappoint someone into that position, and now the appointment into that position to fill out the term until the November election falls to this quorum court. With that said, I believe that there are some people interested in that position. Now, you have passed an ordinance not too long ago that governs county boards and administrative boards, county commissions and administrative boards, but a school board does not fall under that ordinance. And so this is an anomaly that you've not dealt with, kind of like the alcohol permit. It's a new thing for you guys. And the school board of Mount Vernon desperately needs a new member. It's up to you to appoint that new member to fill out the term between now and the November election, at which point somebody will be elected and they'll have the position. That's where you are today, and I believe that there are some candidates who are maybe here who are interested in that position. If you are, would you speak up?
Please stand. Come forward. Once the Senate should please come forward.
And before you start, may I ask, is there anyone else here who is interested in that position?
Yes, I had a question.
Yes.
Did the superintendent and the school board, did they have counsel to know that they only had 30 days?
Yes.
Prior to this?
Yes. They just thought they that knew the it? Yes. The, okay. The school council, that's the point of discussion between me and that council and me and the school board superintendent, Mr. Walters. That council was advising them that the school board would have to make a decision to declare the vacancy. I was advising them that they're not in a position to declare a vacancy or not, because the law says the vacancy happens immediately upon resignation. The school board finally, I believe, and I know there's one member of the school board here, I believe that Mr. Walters presented both sides of that argument to the school board on whatever night, and the school board finally said, okay, it sounds like it's out of our hands. We're not going to vote to declare a vacancy or not, because the vacancy has apparently happened when she resigned, which is my position. And if you would introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Kirby Starr. I served the Mount Vernon Elementary School Board in the past. Got to get right on it. I hate microphones. In the past, I've served Mount Vernon Elementary School Board for 20 years. Most of that time, I served as president of the school board. So it's nothing new to me. And I would be honored to fill this position until the November election, which I am running for the position also.
You can run to see yourself.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that's vying for this position? Make it pretty simple.
Can I speak, please?
Yes.
I'm the superintendent.
Yes, sir.
Speaking on behalf of our school board, this is the man that they said they would like for you guys to consider for that appointment. So there's a consensus here that Mr. Kirby Starr would serve.
Pretty good recommendation.
Yes,
I'll take it.
Your Honor, I make a motion that we consider Mr. Starr.
Second. Then been seconded. All right. Motion been made and seconded. Mr. Kirby Starr filled the position on the Mount Vernon School Board. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Congratulations, Mr. Starr. You've been there for 2 months. Get too comfortable now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent, for being here.
Thank you.
Next item on the new business I have is the Saltillo Volunteer Fire Department appointment. Again, I'll call Councilor Holt to update us with this Volunteer Fire Department.
Judge, there has been a rash of people resigning from boards and commissions across the county for whatever reason. I think it's something in the water. In Saltillo, what's happened is they have been having some hard times, difficulties, so forth for some time, just making these rural fire departments, and it's not just Saltillo. There's several rural fire departments that have been having hard times with keeping people on the boards. I understand that they're not paid exactly highly, and it takes some time and effort, and it's not a very rewarding job. So Saltillo has lost, I believe, two board members recently. This is kind of complicated, like the Mount Vernon Enola situation, because there's a lot of, and Saltillo is one of them, there's a lot of volunteer fire departments around the county that were organized and created by the quorum court or statute, but they've also, once they were organized and created by the government, they also went and filed articles of incorporation as a nonprofit. And so there's been a lot of confusion over the past several years, as to what controlled them. Does the articles of incorporation that they passed control them, or do the statutes or the ordinance that created them control them? Because now we have a government-created agency as well as a nonprofit corporation. As I have talked to some of them in the past weeks, and this gives you a window into what I do every day, as I've talked to them over the past several weeks, I've had to explain to a few different boards that, number one, the statute is going to override their articles of incorporation, and number two, the statute is a little convoluted and needs some repair, because the statute clearly says that if a volunteer fire department was organized before 1989, their board is appointed or elected in a certain fashion. And if it's created after 1989, July 3rd of that year, I think, then the board members are placed in power in their position another way. On Saltillo, they have two board members missing, so they're down to three board members right now. From their perspective, they're very crippled on what they can do, because they only have three, and some of the ones that they lost were their officers. I've explained to them that it's not quite the emergency that they think it is, because those three members can vote among themselves and fix some of those problems and get checks written and so forth. But we have two spots that need to be appointed. Now, here's the rub here. As they have been, kind of like Mount Vernon and Enola School District, as they have been struggling on how they replace their members, whether by the Articles of Incorporation in their bylaws or under the statutes for the Volunteer Fire District, time has been going by, and so they've gone for some time without having those members in place. Based on that, we have only recently, say in the past, I don't know when we published it. Somebody in the crowd might know when we published the notice for people to apply. Does anybody know that? Okay. Pursuant to your ordinance, we have an ordinance in Faulkner County that says that when those openings come up, we are to put that opening on the website and people can submit their applications. It has to be up on the website for 14 days. Based on the confusion in Saltillo Fire District about how they appoint their new people, kind of like the Mount Vernon School District, that we've been struggling through that, and finally we made the decision that this is how it has to happen. We got the publication up, but that was only maybe 10 days ago. And so on one hand, you have an ordinance that says that you need to wait the 14 days and then appoint somebody to this, two people to this fire district. And on the other hand, you have a fire district who desperately needs two appointments made as soon as possible, and they don't want to wait another month for the next quorum court meeting to fill those two positions. Now, with all that said, you do have, I believe, more than one person, and we've got, if you're interested in, if you've submitted an application or you're interested in being on the Saltillo Fire Department District, would you please stand? Okay, I see three people, and there's two slots?
That's in question.
Okay.
Because you say five slots.
Right.
Okay. The Secretary and Treasurer.
And please say your name and identify yourself.
Kenny Harvey.
Right. Yeah, okay.
And the Secretary and Treasurer, through our bylaws, not the statute.
Right.
But you can't go by just the statute because it didn't limit it, is a non-voter. So that leaves four. We have two people on the board that can vote. And then we've got the treasurer who can't vote. So that's, you got two, and we have, that gives us, will give us five right now.
Right.
Which would fill out the accommodation. But there's more to that than meets the eye. We're worried about straight statues when you're dealing with Saltillo, and there's more to the problem there.
Right.
Besides, they have about a 95 no response rate right now. That means they got to page out another fire department, four around them, to respond. And then the ISO rate, when everybody, we changed over to go into these systems where they were not a volunteer fire department, they were a district.
Right.
And guaranteed that they're going to make lower the cost for the homeowners. Well, we're talking 18 years later, and we're talking, just for example, in the 16 years since we became a district, the department has brought in $537,000 in fees. Then an additional $208,000 in grants, so that's $745,000. And that sounds like a lot of money, but there's still a 9-10 rate.
Right.
What that means to a homeowner...
Now, hold on just a second. Because these are my clients... What Mr. Harvey is doing is explaining some stuff that's very important to the fire district, but it doesn't necessarily have a whole lot to do with who you're going to appoint and the process of appointing. It's very important stuff, but it doesn't have a whole lot of relevance. So if you want to listen to it, you can, but it's not all that relevant to who you're going to appoint and whether you're going to follow the ordinance that says 14 days or not. With all due respect, what I'm putting before the court at the moment is the first question you've got to ask yourself before you get to who you're going to appoint for the Saltillo Fire District is, are you going to insist on the 14 days and let that run its course according to the ordinance, or are you going to say this is an emergency and we need to waive the 14 days and go ahead and appoint someone?
How long have these positions been open?
Oh, gosh. Kenny?
long time.
They've been open a long time, and the district has for some time been struggling over how to replace them, until finally I personally went out and attended a meeting, and we had to talk through all that, and there were other fire departments there as well, and we had to talk through all that, and finally we came to the point where I said, you've got to follow the statute over your articles, and it has to be appointed by the quorum court or by the county judge with the approval of the quorum court.
Can we get a little bit better definition, though, of what a long time is? Are we talking a year, 2 years?
Yeah. Oh,
three
no.
Months?
Months.
Months, okay.
Months. Yes, sir.
I mean, this is Justice Brady's district. Justice Brady, I guess the first question is, are we filling two per year? Are we filling three for Mr. Hart? What are we filling two positions tonight?
As far as I know, we're filling two.
Are you running, Ken?
Yes. All three of them.
All three.
We need three positions to be. To, you know,
this, that's, what Kenny is telling y'all, is a needed thing in Saltillo. They have not had a fire district over there in years. The people's insurance is going out the roof. They need somebody that can take control of that and move it. And these three people can. Time through.
Yes, sir.
As what Johnny was saying, he's aware of it. Judge, we've talked about this same issue you and I have. And to finish just one little bit,
sure.
Where I was going a while ago, talking about the money that they had received over the time from the fees that go in to, that we get from the court. The big thing is a 9-10 rating. A 9 is the worst it can be, and a 10 is the same thing. The 10 means that you live outside the 5-mile district, and you'll always be a 10. A 9 means you might go down to an 8, a 7, a 6. That's when the rates drop. Right now, they're a 9-10, and just in this, the people have given the cost of their fees of that $537,000, but here's the big cost. Here's what the people paid out of their back pocket. The difference between a 9 and a 7, where we're at now in our part of the district, they actually, the people paid in that 16 years, $6.8 million in the higher cost of insurance. $6.8 million. And then you add the $530,000, it's $7.3 that came out of the people's pockets. Now, that, see, if they would have been a 9, I mean a 7, it would have been... That $6 million would have went in your community.
Now, for and I'm going to say something to this, and then I'm going to continually bring us back to, you've got to figure out whether to abide by the 14 days or make an exception to the 14 days. You can do either one. Mr. Harvey, you live in the section that's been carved out that is being served by Hilltop, but you live in the Saltillo Fire District, correct?
Right.
Okay. And you live in the... You had, or we had, this court had the section carved out to be served by Hilltop because Saltillo couldn't get to that area, wasn't getting to that area in a timely fashion.
Yes, sir.
And so I just want to make it clear that you do live in the district even though you're served by Hilltop.
Right.
Now,
and the difference, real quick on that, our homeowners, once we went from a 9 to a 7, my homeowners went from $2,200 a year to $714. Dropped 200%. And y'all don't realize how this is breaking the people.
I heard you mention a while ago, we can, if without waiving the 14 days, if we allow the judge to make it final in 3 more days, and that when you said either we can make a decision or he could appoint the judge with our approval, can we not give him approval in 3 days to make that, so in case there's something that comes up in the next 3 days, a fourth or fifth person, once they read this on the meeting, and want, can he not make a decision in 3 days to appoint these people? Would that not be fair to do?
I'm afraid I didn't follow you very well.
Basically, giving the judge authority to make the decision at the end of the 14 days, and we'll delegate that to him.
Yes. Now, you could certainly do that. And what I'll point out is, and you know, I'm just being candid with the court. There are two other applications. You're aware of that. There are two other applications that have come in from people in the Saltillo Fire District. Frankly, I don't know what the names are. So we've got these three plus, I think, two more. So you can, you could easily do what Justice just said and give the judge automatic approval of whoever he might appoint at the end of the 14 days, or you can put it off for another month.
So I'm still a little fuzzy. We're talking about two positions or three?
That's a matter of a dispute between the Articles of Incorporation and the statute itself. The statute itself says that there are five members of the commission. The Articles of Incorporation say that there are
5 to 15.
And so that's two different things, but the problem is that under the Articles of Incorporation, we wouldn't be going through the process of the court appointing it subject to the quorum court approval in the first place. What I'm following is the statute, which says that we have five members on a commission, and we have three presently there, and we need two more at the moment. The Articles of Incorporation say differently, and that's something that I have to work with the Saltillo Fire Department to clean up their Articles of Incorporation and make them work together with the statute a little cleaner. Yes, sir.
How can the state rule how many commissioners it takes to run a corporation? We need more than five members to run a corporation.
The state is what creates the fire district. And so the corporation was formed to be an entity running the fire district, but those two things have to match. The state creates the fire district, not the corporation.
But we have to also have bylaws to run the organization.
You're correct, but those bylaws need to match the state law.
The state law is regulatory. The bylaws are constitutional.
The state law is state law. The bylaws are part of an individual corporation. State law is going to override those bylaws.
When you're saying five board members, is that five voting?
As far as I understand it, yes.
Okay, the Secretary Treasurer is not a voting member, so that would be...
According to the bylaws.
Then, so there's an opening for three.
That's normal procedure so that your Secretary and Treasurer does not vote.
According to the bylaws. This is why my recommendation, if I can make one, would be there are some problems to solve here between the corporation and the statute. Those need to be worked out, and hopefully we can work them out in the remaining 4 days or whatever it is of the ordinance. Yes, sir.
Question two. Kenny knows the law inside out on that fire district, the boundaries, the people that need it, and the whole works. And you like, 3 days being on the limit to where you can appoint somebody, where we appoint somebody? 4 days.
Something like that. I don't know the actual date.
Well, I'm going to go with the other justice and recommend the judge takes it over, and when it comes time, he can appoint who he thinks we need.
I move that we do so and allow the judge to make this decision at his discretion.
Second.
So I'm really not even sure what the decision is, two or three.
I can tell you what, if this goes through the judge, they'll appoint two, and once the thing is cleaned up, another one required, we do another.
That sounds like a good plan.
But the judge is going to point two.
We've got to resolve the conflict between those two things, and Kenny and I can talk, and we'll figure that out. We usually do.
Yeah.
So then, Your Honor, I'd like to make a motion that we actually do that, allow you the approval to do two.
It's already a motion
and a second.
Okay.
But not the two, but that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I would amend that to let you do two, and then the third one needs to be done.
Well, it's been made and seconded. Other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank y'all.
Thank you,
Ms.
Harvey.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Clean it up, Denny.
Moving right along with fast pace, turn it to South Fulton. South Fulton, proposed ordinance 1815, appropriation ordinance. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I make a motion that proposed ordinance 18-15 be considered by the full court.
Second.
Make a motion we read by title only.
Second. All right. You amended the motion to make it by title only. Let's lay aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Councilor, would you read the title on it?
Proposed Ordinance 1815, sponsored by Budget and Finance Committee, being enacted by the Quorum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 1736, December 19, 2017. Sections 1 through 25, approved by Quorum Court on August 21, 2018, attest Margaret Garter and affirmed James Baker, Faulkner County Judge.
You've heard the ordinance read. Is there any questions or discussions on this ordinance at this time? Question has been called for. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Boyer?
Yes.
Brady?
Yes.
Dodgen?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
Hendricks?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Houston?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
Tessing?
Yes.
Vogel?
Yes.
Thank you. Ordinance 1815 has been approved. Turn to tab 5. Proposed ordinance 1816. What is your pleasure?
Your Honor, I make a motion that we approve ordinance 18-16.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve ordinance 18-16. Councilor, would you read the ordinance?
Ordinance 1816, being enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled Transparency of Public Meetings. Whereas the Quorum Court meetings are statutorily mandated to be public meetings, and whereas questions often arise after meetings about exactly what was said or done in the meetings, either by public or the press, or even by the justices of the peace. Now, therefore, be it enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas, 1, the county court, county clerk and IT department shall begin working together to post the recordings of Quorum Court meetings on the county website. 2, the recording of each meeting shall be posted on the county website within 1 week after the meeting each month. Dated August 21, 2018, attest Margaret Garter, Secretariat, approved Jim Baker, County Judge.
You've heard the ordinance read. Open to for discussion, and I'll defer to Justice Higgins. It's a, for folks that don't understand, brief us on the nuts and bolts of it.
Your Honor, if I can, I'd just soon defer to Justice Boyer. He's the one who helped author it.
Okay. You.
I don't have the copy. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a... something. Mm-hmm.
So are you prepared to discuss it?
I will make a brief statement if you don't mind.
Sure.
In the current environment of transparency being vital to everybody, having knowledge of what's going on with the government business, in this case, Faulkner County government business, I wholly and totally support this ordinance to make the transparency, disclosure, accountability, access, whatever you want to call it, available to approximately 125,000 residents, citizens, and voters in Faulkner County. Is that sufficient?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Judge?
Yes.
I'd like, Mr. Boyer, I'd like to offer 2 friendly amendments.
I'm willing to hear everything.
You got the floor.
Mr. Hogue is distributing them.
Thank you.
Mr. Boyer, I suggest that we add section 3 and 4. And I'll argue the same.
David, do you have a copy for the two?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. No, I'm sorry. Mr. Boyer, I'll argue it's in the same interest of it has to do with public transparency in public meetings. And section 3 simply requires that all the documents that are going to be distributed to quorum court committees or the court be filed with the county clerk, the secretariat, by Friday noon before the meeting the following day, the following week. Because the late arrival of information does not give members of the court and the members of the public time to have a go at it and have a look at it. I'm also including section 4, which says if there's any special meetings for committees or the quorum court, that information be distributed, be provided to the secretary, i.e. the secretariat, by 12 noon, 2 days before the court or the committee meets. It's all in the matter of timely information for so that the members of the court and the members of the public can have a chance to look at it.
You've offered this two friendly amendments.
Yes.
I do not have a second.
Second.
All right. The second's been made. So I need you to introduce the amendment before I got a second.
The proposed friendly amendments have been distributed, and I would request that the ordinance be considered by the full court as amended.
May I second that?
Yes.
Sure.
So, Your Honor, question for Councilor Hogue. Just for the record, special meetings, what is the minimum amount of time required to hold a special meeting?
I want to say it's 24 hours notice.
Yeah, so that was my concern. If we have to, if for an emergency purpose, if we have to call a meeting 24 hours in advance, it'll be hard to get the information to them 2 days.
True.
So I'm wondering if we should not line those two up.
The answer is yes. Mr. Hogue, how should we align the statutory request with my friendly amendment number 4?
And that was a friendly suggestion.
Yes.
Get better off.
If a special, let's see, section C of paragraph 1 of section C, the county judge or a majority elected justices may call a special meeting of the quorum court upon at least 24 hours notice in such a manner as may be prescribed by local ordinance. If you call something in 24 hours, you have to state the point of that meeting, and so you should be able to get your special meeting, the documents that have to do with a special meeting in when it's called, because you have to know the purpose of that meeting when you call it. So 24 hours would still work. So you can't use 2 days, but you can use 24 hours in section 4.
So, Justice Pickett, I know we've had a few special meetings. I can't ever remember one being called as fast as 24 hours, but I think 24 hours would be appropriate. So I would request that be included in the amendment.
Okay, then the item number 4, we should strike 12 noon, 2 days before, and insert 24 hours.
So is that your motion?
Yes. That's my
recommended.
My
amended.
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 Okay. Yeah. May I ask a friendly question?
We're all friends.
So that we don't violate your 3 and 4 here, should we wait and do this next month? Since we didn't get this ahead of time. And I'm being facetious, I'm just kidding.
I thought the same thing.
It's not in effect right now.
Duncan, don't we call for a friendly vote?
Other discussion, yes.
I have one more question, if I may.
One more.
If you don't mind, sir.
Go ahead, yeah.
If this ordinance passes, and I'm hopeful that it passes unanimously. If this ordinance passes, does it have to have 3 readings, or would it be considered an emergency ordinance and effective immediately? I would like to see it be an emergency ordinance, effective immediately, so we can start putting this on.
If you can, as a court, justify the emergency or state the emergency, then we can easily add an emergency clause to it. I can do the language for that as we stand here. So what I would humbly suggest is that we vote on the amendments and then we vote on an emergency clause just to simplify everybody's brains and not have anybody blow up.
Question. I don't want to be a dead horse here, but we're sitting here talking about timelines here. And this timeline, we say it's got to be submitted. Submitted to who? This is to the clerk's office?
This is to the secretariat, which is Margaret Carter.
The secretariat's office. So when is it going to be available to us?
She puts things out Friday afternoon. So this is getting it, paragraph 3 requires getting it to her by 12 noon on the Friday preceding the quorum court meeting, and she usually will send things out Friday afternoon. I will tell you, in case you don't understand this, that generally that happens regardless of where she and I are. I've talked to her, and I've been in Florida, and she's been in Kansas City, and we have conversations about what needs to be going out on Friday afternoon. Sometimes that is amended and updated, and that's what we're trying to avoid here.
Right.
Is sometimes it's my fault. It's often my fault. Sometimes it's her with somebody coming in at the last minute, or she forgot to put something on it. So if you pass this, there would basically be a rule set, there would be an ordinance set, that if everything that she puts out, everything that comes in by noon, and if you don't get it in to her by noon on the Friday before the quorum court meeting, or if I don't get it in to her on somebody's behalf by noon Friday on the before the quorum court meeting, it's not on the agenda, it doesn't happen.
So now, just for clarification, and yeah. I know as an example of this week, there was an item from the Courts and Public Safety that she had a week in advance that did not make the agenda, and I just sent her a reminder saying, oops, right. You missed this, and she added it. Those are still okay.
Yeah, those would still be okay because she had it. So this is not governing exactly when.
It's governing what she gets.
It's governing what she gets. If she doesn't get it by noon that Friday, then it's off the table.
Okay.
If she gets it by noon that Friday and forgets to send it, then, you know, we work that out.
All right.
Other discussion on the amendment for Ordinance 1816. Secretary, hearing none, would you call the roll on the amendment?
Boyer?
Yes.
Brady?
Yes.
Dodgen?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
Hendricks?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Houston?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
Tessing?
Yes.
Vogel?
Yes.
The amendment to Ordinance 18-16 is approved. Now, Madam Secretary, would you call any discussion before we have the final vote?
There was somebody wanting to move to add an emergency clause. You can either, to make your point, to help you with that, you can either, and this is almost facetiously, take it how you want it. You can either add an emergency clause to make this effective immediately, or you can appropriate money into my budget to make it effective immediately because it's an appropriation budget ordinance. Your choice.
I'd rather do an emergency clause myself.
To make a motion on that?
Yes.
Some more kumbaya here?
Yes, you do.
I'd like to motion to make this an emergency ordinance. on behalf of the 125,000 plus or minus residents, citizens, voters in Faulkner County.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So said. Now we're back to the ordinance as amended with the emergency clause.
Yes.
And so, ordinance 18-16.
Now you're voting on the whole thing.
Any other discussion? Madam Secretary, would you call the vote?
Boyer?
Yes.
Brady?
Yes.
Dodgen?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
Hendricks?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Houston?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
Tessing?
Yes.
Vogel?
Yes.
Ordinance 18-16 does pass. At this time, that is referred to Justice Pickett, coming out of his committee meeting this past 2 weeks.
Yes, members of the court, the Budget and Finance Committee tabled a motion submitted by Justice Goode calling for an election to reallocate the half a cent sales tax. We need to get that motion, we need to move that motion out of our committee into so that the full court can consider it. It's been tabled in our budget and finance, so I'm just going to ask the members of the Budget and Finance Committee to verbally approve untabling it so that it can get before the quorum court tonight.
Chairman, would you identify your members?
Yeah. Mr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Leroy?
Yes.
And Mr. Thessing?
Yes.
It's now before the quorum, the full court. And it's, you have, Mr. Hogue, you have a copy of the motion?
I do.
I mean,
the ordinance.
Ordinance?
Yes. So it is before the quorum court. I will pass it out, and as I'm passing it out, I know that you're already on this page, but what somebody would have to do is make a motion to pass it or whatever from there. And what I'm handing out, for what it's worth, is the ordinance. Not if I just hand it to you and you pass it out. This is the ordinance as well as the resolution that would have to go with it if you pass the ordinance. So the first page is the ordinance you're talking about. The last two pages are the resolution that's not before you yet. If you pass the ordinance, you'll have to deal with
it. What number are we signing this? So, the
17?
No. 18.
What is your pleasure? We moved, the motion we made was to get it untabled and out of committee. Now we need a motion. What is your pleasure?
Your Honor, if I might.
Yes.
Before I talk about this ordinance, I'd like to just briefly talk to the large crowd that we have here tonight, if that's appropriate with you.
You've got 1 minute.
I want to thank you all for coming very much, especially you folks from the road department. It means a lot to us as a court that you came tonight. I want you to realize that we need, as a county right now, about $1.25 million in additional funds. $400,000 for the Friends of the Faulkner County Animal Shelter and approximately $850,000 for our Sheriff's Department. No one on this court, to my knowledge, has ever made this an us versus them battle. A you versus a sheriff versus the road, or roads versus the sheriff. Especially on this court. If that's happened, that's happened somewhere else. As I said here tonight, for people on the road department to think that this court wants to hurt them, that is nothing but a lie. One of the finest men I know in Faulkner County, his name is Jim Woolley. He works for y'all. One of the hardest working men and finest men I know in Butler County is John Joyce. He works for y'all. His wife is one of my wife's best friends. He sits in my Sunday school class on Sunday morning. I would never hurt those men. Dora Glover attends church with one of my business partners, Andy Shaw. She is a fine woman. She works for y'all. Lance Reynolds, I've never met. Are you here tonight, Lance? I hear nothing but good things about you from a friend of mine that goes to church with you. I would never want to hurt you. We have a simple need. We have a simple need. And the need is for Friends of the Father County Animal Shelter to be able to fund an animal shelter and for the Sheriff's Department to adequately meet jail standards, which today we cannot meet. I see people shaking their head right now from the road department. There's a member, a gentleman from the jail standards here tonight. He can speak to that independently. You don't have to listen to me. You can listen to him. At this time, because of the dissension that has been caused from those outside the quorum court, I am not going to run this ordinance tonight. I still want you to know that the need is still there, and the need will not go away. The only alternative to fill this need was offered by our county judge, and he offered to take $400,000 out of a sequestered fund that was already budgeted and spoke for this year and apply it somewhere else. He got the hopes up of the Friends of the Faulkner County Animal Shelter without telling them that that money was already sequestered and intended for somewhere else in this budget. We have another budget cycle coming. Maybe that money gets moved somewhere else, and maybe that can happen. But again, for all of you that came tonight, I appreciate you coming. I appreciate the hard work that you do each and every day. But I appreciate every county employee as well, from the sheriff's office, to the assessor's office, to the collector's office, to the clerk's office, to the prosecutor's office. And if I forgot somebody, circuit clerk's office, if I forgot somebody, I appreciate you too. Your Honor, at this time, I will not run this ordinance tonight.
The next item on the business is announcements. Do I hear any? Yes.
Judge, Spencer Hawks is in Washington, D.C. at the moment doing work on behalf of Arkansas and Faulkner County. And he called me just a day or so ago and specifically asked that we look back at a resolution that was passed in 2017. It was a resolution in support of United States House Resolution 1214, the Disaster Simplified Assistance Value Enhancement Act. That federal legislation would raise the threshold from $130,000 to $500,000 for what it takes for FEMA to be able to help me out, Sheila. What it takes for FEMA to be able to reimburse counties for disaster benefits. I'm saying that awfully badly. Anyway, the act that you supported with your resolution that you passed in 2017 has made it through the federal House of Representatives, and now it's stuck in committee at the Senate. What he's asking for, as he is in D.C. and calling me, is that you vote to reaffirm this resolution and allow us to send a letter to the senator from Oklahoma, who is the chair of the committee in which this resolution is stuck, to move it forward. So what Spencer would do if he were here would be to move for this court to reaffirm this resolution and send it to that Oklahoma senator to stress the movement of that resolution in the U.S. Congress. At that point, I'll...
You're asking for a reaffirmation of an ordinance we passed last year.
Resolution, yes.
Of a resolution.
Right.
Anybody?
A motion?
So moved, Your Honor.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to reaffirm this ordinance and write a letter to a senator from Oklahoma to help expedite this, maybe get it out of the committee.
If you guys vote in favor of that, then I'll write the letter. I'll send it to Spencer as well as the Oklahoma senator and where this is.
We passed it last year, and we wanted some help, so we've gotten a little chance here maybe to get some. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution does pass. We'll get right there. Announcements. Other announcements.
Your Honor?
Yes.
This body has selected me to represent them in the Arkansas Association of Quorum Courts. The Arkansas Association of Quorum Courts elected me to the 12-member board, and so I attended the Arkansas Association of Quorum Court meeting 2 weeks ago at the annual meeting. I just wanted to report that they had two resolutions that that body voted on to send to the Arkansas legislature so that they can work on legislation. One resolution had to do with 911 funding for the legislature to work on 911 funding. We all realize that that's about a $20 million issue affecting the state of Arkansas, so we're encouraging them to do that. And also, there was a great deal of discussion regarding the so-called internet tax, and they passed a resolution for the legislature to address the internet tax as well. So I started to do that report out to this body.
The Supreme Court has ruled on the internet tax that it should be in place, and I believe it'll stand up as we go forward. But we need to re-push for it. We're losing some tax. Other announcements?
Yes. Judge, may I recognize the mayor of the megalopolis, Wooster?
Yes, he's here. I saw him earlier.
Mayor Terry Don Robinson.
And I'd be neglectful if I didn't recognize Mayor Hartwick from Greenbrier.
All right. We have some other mayors that were here. I don't know. Mayor Goff from Twin Groves was here.
He just
played player. He is. I don't blame him.
McGahey. Ronnie McGahey. Ronnie McGahey.
So who are you pointing at?
Ronnie McGahey.
Speak.
Mayor of Holland.
Ronnie McGahey.
Yes, sir.
It's good to have you. Your presence is appreciated anytime. Ready. Any other business come before this court tonight?
Second.
Oh,
the mayor of Wooster.
Even cut this. Hey, I was wrong when I told you earlier.
What? Yeah.